Stuff here messing with iPads is because it's a lot easier to carry than these huge red books around. So please don't think we're not paying attention. We're just looking at the information that may be in there. The first case is Douglas R. Litton versus Deborah Litton. Who is going to argue, Mr. Morrison?
Good morning, Judge. Matthew Clark. I'm here in Mr. Morrison's place. I had my notice of appearance last night.
Okay. And your name is Matthew?
Clark, C-L-A-R-K.
Okay. And Mr. Gulick?
Good morning, Chief Judge.
Good morning. Good to have both of you here. Mr. Clark, do you wish to reserve any time in rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 3 minutes, please.
Okay. You know the clock system. If you don't, the clock will start. It'll be green. When it gets to the yellow, you are in your rebuttal time, and we won't stop you, but I'll sometimes say you are in your rebuttal time. Please proceed to the podium and begin your argument.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Matthew Clark. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Douglas Litton. We're here this morning on an appeal from a final order of divorce entered in the circuit court of Fauquier County. And it presents a discrete legal question. Essentially, the question is whether the circuit court erred when it ordered wife to transfer 24.5% of a limited partnership interest she held in a Virginia limited partnership.
Hadn't the wife requested that she be permitted to do this in order to satisfy her outstanding obligation?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And doesn't the statute allow the circuit court to grant that?
Your Honor, we would argue that it would not.
The plain language of subsection D says that the court, with the court's approval, it can be done.
That's correct, Your Honor, but we can't just look at subsection D in a vacuum. We've got to look at the statute in its entirety. When you look at the subsection that precedes it, subsection C.
Well, then how do you reconcile C with D?
Sure, no problem, Your Honor. Our explanation for how you would read these statutes in harmony with one another is that, number one, you look at C. It says subject to subsection G, which applies to retirement assets. The court shall have no authority to order the division or transfer of marital property which is not jointly owned. Then you look at D. D allows a party to satisfy a monetary award through conveyance of non-monetary approval, subject to the approval of the court. The language subject to approval of the court is not an expansion of judicial authority. It's merely a further limitation on a party's ability to satisfy a monetary award through a conveyance of non-monetary property.
Does subsection C have anything to do with a monetary award?
Well, not specifically, but it is broad in its prohibition on judicial authority.
The statutory scheme is that the trial court has a number of options in equitable distribution, one of which is under C to order the transfer or division of jointly held property. Do you agree with that?
Of jointly held property?
Yeah.
Under C, no. Absolutely not. The statute says the court shall have no authority to order the division or transfer of marital property which is not jointly owned. Court has no authority to do that.
Right, but my question wasn't that. My question was jointly owned property.
Right.
You're saying that the court has no authority to order the distribution or division of jointly owned property under C?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I misunderstood your question. Property that is jointly owned, the court has virtually unfettered discretion.
Okay, all right, now we got that straight.
Yes.
Under D, that talks about a monetary award.
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you agree that under C, the trial court could divide, transfer jointly owned property, and also make a monetary award under D? They're two separate or authority, I guess. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Well, here, aren't we talking about there's been a marital award made, and the wife is seeking to satisfy that by that limited partnership interest. Why isn't D the exclusive, why aren't we under D as opposed to C?
Well, we're under both of them. And the problem is, if we were to accept the viewpoint of the circuit court and of wife, that a circuit court could order the transfer of property that is not jointly owned to satisfy a monetary award, then the prohibition in C would be meaningless. We have to give meaning to the words that have been chosen by the General Assembly. And
well, let me ask you this. Is a monetary award under D and division of jointly held property under C, are those two separate transactions? Can't they occur at the same time?
Your Honor, could you repeat your question, please?
Yeah. The authority of a trial court to divide jointly owned property, isn't that a distinct and separate action, for lack of a better word, than making a monetary award?
It is. I would say that they're all done together. Under the distribution statute, the basic idea is to try to give the court the ability to even things up as much as possible. And when it comes to jointly owned property, the court can do just about anything. But when we're talking about property that's not jointly owned, the court's limited in its authority as to what it can do. But it can take a look at an asset that's a marital asset that's titled in one name, and it can say, okay, this property, it's not jointly owned, it's marital property, it's worth $100,000. We've got to give, that's going to create a $50,000 obligation owed to the party that doesn't have its name on that title. So, how do we solve that problem? Well, the General Assembly has given parties the ability to make up that shortfall with a conveyance of property. But at the same time, the General Assembly has prohibited a circuit court from compelling such a transfer to be made under subpart C. We do have the decision in Payne, which does have some language in there that is a little bit at odds with what I'm saying this morning. I acknowledge that. There's language in there that says circuit court can require the purpose of the legislature was to prohibit one party from unilaterally holding up the show under subpart D. There's a couple issues with Payne, though. Number one, it's not clear that the argument we're presenting this morning was brought before the court back in 1987.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, because Payne only dealt with D and not C.
Yes, correct.
So why would they discuss C when it didn't apply?
Well, there is no discussion of C, but one of the arguments made by wife was that the court had no authority to order her to accept the property to satisfy the $16,500 obligation husband owed her. And the court said, well, we've got this language subject to the approval of the court. The court does have authority to order that transfer. But we submit this morning, it's impossible to reconcile that viewpoint with the prohibition in C.
Well, subsection C deals with jointly owned property, doesn't it?
It deals with jointly owned property and property that is not jointly owned. It provides instructions and limitations on both. Comes to jointly owned property, sky's the limit. Property that is not jointly owned, the statute's clear in its language. It says, court shall have no authority to order the division or transfer of separate or marital property which is not jointly owned. There is an exception to that. The General Assembly has shown us. They know they want to make an exception.
And that section, that is subsection D, is the exception?
The exception is subsection G, which pertains to retirement assets, which are always in one party's name. So that's a practical necessity. One thing I'd like to argue this morning is that the explanation for the language in subpart D, subject to the approval of the court, that's a practical necessity. When you have, when you're dividing up marital property, no one can ever just do it without the court's involvement. The court always has to approve and sign off on a transfer. So subpart D is going to apply when the parties are in agreement, when they agree with one another. Okay, you owe me $50,000, you've got that nice BMW. Okay, I'll take it, you won't owe me anything. We agree on that.
I thought D had application when one party requested that they could satisfy the indebtedness through that conveyance, and then if it were separately titled property, then that would require the court to approve it.
Precisely, Your Honor.
All right, but exactly. It doesn't require both parties to agree. It requires the party who wants to offer the separately titled property in satisfaction of the debt, and then the court to agree to it, which is what happened here, isn't it?
Your Honor, I would disagree with that. I believe there is a subtle distinction here. In order for a transfer to be complete, it involves the participation and the consent of both parties. So here we have a situation where a wife is saying, okay, I owe you $385,000. I've got half my partnership interest that's equal to that amount. To satisfy my debt to you, I'm going to give you this. Husband says no. So in order for the transfer to be complete, they've got to agree with each other. In order for her to complete this transfer, she has sought and she's obtained the authority and the coercive instruction, the order of the circuit court.
The approval to her request.
Well, it's been compelled. This is something that the court has compelled. We submit this morning that the court has no authority to do that under subpart C. If we take a contrary viewpoint, C doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. And we just cannot, we do not believe that we can just strike subpart C of any meaning. That the way to view these statutes in harmony with one another is to say, general rule, property that's not jointly owned, circuit court, no authority to order it to be transferred. You look at subpart D, you want to satisfy a monetary award with a conveyance of non-monetary property, you can do that.
Does C have anything to do with a monetary award?
It does to the extent that a party would seek to compel the court to order the transfer of a non-monetary asset to satisfy a monetary award. In that sense, it would apply. It would prohibit the court from doing that without the consent of the parties.
There's no authority in C for the court to make a monetary award, is there?
No, that is in subpart D.
Right.
Right. But the basic point is, we cannot read C to expand the circuit court's authority to order the transfer of a separately titled asset. It's not an expansion of authority. There's a strict constriction of the authority in subpart C. It provides an exception.
The only restriction in D is the court's approval.
Well, that would be in addition to the restriction of subpart C. We can't view these statutes in a vacuum.
I'm talking about the language of D.
Right.
The only restriction in D is court approval.
That is the only restriction listed in D. But you have to look at the statute as a whole. And in order to conclude that the only restriction on a court's authority to order the transfer of separately titled property is in D, that would ignore the prohibition in subpart C.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have about 2 minutes and 15 seconds left here.
Thank you. Good morning, Chief Judge Felton, Judge Frank, Judge Huff. My name is Robin Gulick, and I represent Deborah Linton in this appeal. Your Honors, at the trial level, trial counsel, Mr. Morrison, seemed to argue that the court could only satisfy this monetary award if Mr. Linton consented to it. In their appeal and their exceptions to the final order of divorce, they expanded that a bit that the court did not have jurisdiction to satisfy the monetary award by allowing Ms. Linton, upon her request and approval of the court, to satisfy that monetary award by conveyance of the partnership interest. This court, in beginning with Venable, Payne, Booth, and recently in Johnson, which Chief Judge Felton, you obviously are aware, you wrote the opinion, has said in no uncertain terms that the statutory scheme under 107.3 is within jointly held property. The court has a great deal of discretion and latitude as to how to divide up the property. We agree that the court has no authority to order the transfer of individually held property. And so the court is then left with the option to award or to make a monetary award from one party to the other to even up the marital property interest, even though it's singly titled. And subsection D clearly states, and the cases that I've recited here clearly state, that at that point in time, a person against whom a judgment or monetary award has been made has two options. They can write a check, they can ask the court for time to pay it over time under subsection D, or they can ask the court for approval to transfer property. It doesn't have to be, as we found out in Johnson, doesn't have to be the same partnership interest. It can be any property of equal value to satisfy the award. The parties stipulated this to the value of the property. The parties stipulated and became an order of the court as to the amount of the monetary award. And Ms. Linton asked that the judge allow her to satisfy it in that fashion. There has been no mention either at the trial court level or this level that there was abuse of discretion by Judge Parker. So I submit to your honors.
Mr. Gulick, under C, trial court can divide jointly owned property.
Yes, sir.
Is that independent of, under D, the court authority to enter a monetary award?
Yes, sir.
They can both be done at the same time.
Yes, sir. And you will have cases in which the parties have some jointly owned marital property and some singularly titled marital property, and you will have both a transfer, and then you'll also have a monetary award. And as your honors have said, and your predecessors have said, that is the statutory scheme so that the trial court can ultimately reach an equitable result and has the tools to do it. So, your honors, because of the case law and the statute, which we submit as clear and unambiguous, we ask that you affirm the ruling of the trial court and that you remand to the trial court for an award of attorney's fees in this court. Thank you.
Are there any questions, Judge Hoff?
No.
Any further questions, Judge Frank? Thank you, Mr. Gould.
Thank you.
You have your 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Thank you, Judge. Judges, in rebuttal to that, I would just point out again that if we were to accept the viewpoint that 107.3D granted authority to circuit court to order the transfer of a separately titled marital asset to satisfy a monetary award, then the prohibition in subpart C, which includes an exception that does not make reference to subpart D, it would be meaningless. And we, in order to give meaning to the statute in its entirety, to fulfill the intent of the General Assembly, we must read and observe the strict prohibition set forth in subpart C, which we respectfully submit was not followed in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We'll come down and greet counsel, as is our custom, and then take up the case of Stormy Gary Swan versus Commonwealth.